Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
It is useless to resist us.
People's homes are being ruined by these monsters.
It is useless to resist us.
From here, there is no escape.
It is useless to resist us.
I sure would like to get out of here.
Keep your dark glasses on and stay where you are.
The revolution is on.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and thank you for tuning in. And tonight we are going to continue to talk about your favorite topic, and that's COVID-19. We know y'all are eager to hear as much about that as you can, because there's no news out there about it. It's really hard to find out what's going on. So we want to be your source for the truth on COVID-19. In order to do that, we've assembled a special panel. We have Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
How and Rainer James.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
And we've got North Carolina State Representative Michael Speciale has joined us, our 3rd District Representative. Welcome, Michael.
Yes, hello.
The latest news we've got is that there was a Reopen NC rally in Raleigh yesterday. And there was quite a crowd. Estimates about 1,500 people, I think, is what most people are estimating. And for the most part, it was a really good rally. Went really well. Michael Speciale was there, and he was dressed up in period costume as a patriot. Yes, Hal?
As a patriot. He looked great.
Yes. And Representative Keith Kidwell was there, and he may join us later tonight. He's on another conference right now. But, Michael, you had some special comments when you had the microphone yesterday. You want to elaborate on what you had to say there?
I don't remember what I said yesterday. That's a whole nother day.
Nice, man.
Lots going on since then.
No, I was just trying to motivate everybody, let them know that, you know, we're doing what we can in the General Assembly. I've got a bill. Keith Kidwell's got a bill that would call the General Assembly into session, require the governor to call us into session if he declares a statewide emergency. Because I think part of the problems here is that the General Assembly are the ones that make the laws. The General Assembly are the ones that represent the people, and we're not in session. And so most people don't know that we're not in session, and so they want to know why we haven't done anything to combat what they believe is overreach by the governor, but we couldn't do anything because we're not in session. Now that we are in session, it's still limited what we can do because we don't have a supermajority, and the governor can veto any of the bills that we pass.
Yeah.
Can you explain to the people why you wouldn't go back into session? Because I've seen people posting on Facebook and Twitter, why don't they go in and do something?
Okay. Yeah, the North Carolina Constitution gives a couple of ways that we go into session. Number one is when we end session for the year, we set a return date. We pass a resolution ending the session sine die. With the next date that we're going to return, which in this case, when we left last year, well, we set a January date because we did go in January in a special session for something else. But when we left in January, we set it for April 28th. Now, there's only two ways we could go into session outside that date that we set. One of them is that the governor could call us into an emergency session, a special session, for specific purpose, or we could call ourselves into session, but it requires a 72 of us out of the 140 in the House. It requires two-thirds vote or three-fifths vote. Anyway, 72, whatever that is, out of 120 is what it requires. And we have 65 Republicans, and 45 Democrats. So Republicans are in the majority. So in order to call ourselves into session, we would have to have 7 Democrats that would support that calling us into session. And that didn't happen. And the governor didn't call us in, so we were stuck. We couldn't do anything until we came in yesterday.
So I guess that's one of the important things about having the supermajority then.
Yes. And what the bill, if we were able to do this, both my bill and Keith's bill has our constitutional amendments. They would, in other words, they'd go to the people. But it requires, again, that 72 votes in the House and the same majority in the Senate. I think, 28 or 29 votes in the Senate in order to pass it and move it out to the people for a vote to put it on the ballot. So I don't know that we're going to be able to get that. This is one bill the governor cannot veto, but we still have to get a super majority vote on it in order for it to pass the chambers.
All right. Rainer?
What I'm hearing makes me realize that if this Michael and Keith's bills aren't passed, it is our fault. We didn't vote in enough people who would vote along with them. If they aren't able to get it done, it's our own fault.
Right.
We need to do better in November.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not sure I 100% agree that it's our fault, because it's strange and ironic to me how the state went totally Republican except for the 4 top offices.
Well, I see your point. There has been some election fraud, I'm pretty dang sure. And I stand corrected.
Major Dave on our last show really thoroughly explains that too.
Okay, Michael, let's talk about some other things there. There's an issue brought up during the rally yesterday that neither the American flag or the state flag have been flying in front of the governor's mansion. Do you know anything about that, why that's happening?
That is the governor's home. So it's his option if he wants to fly a flag or not.
Okay.
That's his home while he's in office, just like you have the option to fly it at your home or not. Now, we would like to think the governor would fly the flags, but if he chose not to, I mean, again, that's where he lives.
All right. So it's really not a virus deal, I guess. He's not social distancing from the flags. He's just not flying them.
Well, he's social distancing from us when he flies to Florida for fundraising, when he's supposed to be at home like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Like that.
All right. Well, he's not the only one that's been doing that. Well, let's take a short break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Representative Michael Speciale.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. It's good to have all of you with us today, and we hope you are enjoying the topic and the conversation that we're having with Representative Michael Speciale. We're talking about the rally that was held in Raleigh yesterday by Reopen NC, and that's what they're up there protesting for, is to start reopening our businesses and get our economy going again. Michael, how do you think that's going to work with Governor Cooper's orders?
I missed that question. I'm sorry.
We're talking about reopening the economy, and, you know, Governor Cooper's extended us again, and people are anxious to start opening their businesses. And I think some of them are going to be doing that. Some of them already are. They are in other states. What do you anticipate might happen if they start doing it here?
I think if restaurants start opening, we're all going to go have something to eat. there's a lot of dissent here. There's a lot of folks that are not in agreement with the fact that we need to be locked down. And so a lot of the small businesses, as we hear through the grapevine, are planning on opening. A lot of the churches are planning on opening this coming Sunday. And, if that happens, I just don't see people getting arrested and thrown in jail because they went to a restaurant or because they went to church. We'll see what happens there. But I think it would be the optics for the governor would be terrible. And I think it would almost guarantee that he won't have that seat, you know, if people were start getting arrested after the new year.
Well, that's where I was going with that, because, protest rally yesterday, there were four people arrested. I'm not going to go too deep into that because we don't have all the details on it right now, but a lot of people do feel like these orders to shut down everything are unconstitutional orders. And if they're unconstitutional, then they're null and void as far as a law would go, but they're not laws in the first place. At the rally was on top of the building. There were about six uniformed officers of some sort. I don't know if they were Capitol Police or Raleigh Police or SBI or what. Two of them were flying drones over the crowd. And one of them had a long telephoto lens on the camera photographing the crowd. And do you recall seeing that at other previous demonstrations, like when the pastor,
Barber.
The rotund.
Barber, yeah. When Reverend Barber was there with their rallies and protests, was there that kind of surveillance then? Or
I do remember seeing it. It's just a lot of it is security. Some of it is news media. Some of it is, they do send up now. It's a little different. They send up the drones instead of helicopters. But we believe there was about 1,500 people. Some in the media think there were six.
Yeah. Well, I did see the news helicopters there, and there are images and video out there.
I've got some that I took from the second deck that shows a whole lot of people standing out there.
And mentioning the drones, I've seen a number of news reports of police departments across the country that received a lot of drones, and they're made in China, and they were urged to return the drones and not to use them because of the possibilities that they're not the only ones getting the video. The Chinese could be getting the video too. So that's something I'd like to look into a little bit more at a later time is who's authorizing the use of the drones and, you know, things like that, because a lot of people think that is an infringement. And that's another topic for another day. Rainer?
To go back to the earlier crowd estimate, whether it was 1,500 or 6, if there were aerial shots of people streaming up to and around the outside edge of the Capitol and another group going to the governor's mansion and around and back, it stretched out for some blocks. I don't think people would have any doubts about the size of the numbers of the people attending.
Right. It was well, like any event nowadays, everybody's got a high-resolution video camera in their hand, in their cell phone, and it's greatly documented. That and pretty much anywhere you go is documented. There's a lot of surveillance right there around the Capitol. There's poles all over the place with cameras on them. The officers are wearing cameras, so, you know, if anything's going on, they know about it. And the parking lot right across the street, I don't know if they were taking the pictures of the license plates or not, but there was a guy on the roof with an extremely powerful telephoto lens on his camera. And that seemed to be his job, was to just take as many pictures as he could. All right, well, let's move on then. Another issue, Michael, y'all went into session. What did y'all do when you went into session? Can you share any new information there?
Most of it was just, it was mundane. It was routine. It was reading a few bills in. Some of the bills from the COVID committees were broken down into 3 subcommittees, and we did some bills. They put them together in an omnibus bill, read it out on the floor, sent it into committee. So we had committee meetings today. There were no votes taken on anything except in the committee. We did approve the one bill. They took the 3 committees' bills, put them together. That will be on the House floor tomorrow for a vote. So, and it's a money bill. It's a money package. It spends about $1.7 billion. There's things in there that are good. There's things in there that are not good. Overall, I think the bill will probably pass unanimously because even the things that some of us think are a waste of money, we've got to get. Well, I mean, you know, that's the battle. That's the battle with being up here. You can't vote no on everything. There is money that needs to get out there. There are businesses that need help. We all have our ideas about what tax dollars should be going towards. There are some things that are in that bill that it does need to go for, and those are the things we need to get it out for. And my vote and a couple other votes are not going to change that fact. And that's the hardest part about being out here is when you disagree with something.
Right. And that would be another issue is having line item veto. But I don't think in the case of this governor, that would matter much.
No, until 2004, the governor didn't have a veto. The governor in North Carolina has always been the weakest link in the country. He's been one of the weakest governors in the country. And in 2004, I believe it was, is when they gave him the veto. Well, now it presents a lot of problems. I'd like to see somewhere at some point them change it and give the governor line item veto on the budget, and that's it. When 170 people come to a conclusion on a bill after they debate it through different committees and everything else, and they battle it out, and they, you know, they finally pass it, to have one man say, no, I don't think so, and veto it. And then if you don't have a supermajority, And everything's gotten a lot more partisan now than it used to be. So everybody's voting along party line. And so to get people to cross over to support your veto override is near impossible now.
All right. Another issue as a result of these shutdowns, 43 states, 4 U.S. territories, and the District of Columbia have ordered or recommended school building closures for the rest of the academic year, affecting approximately 45.1 million public school students. Governor Cooper is one of those governors that have ordered them closed for the rest of the year. Do you have any comments on the impact that might have on our education system?
Well, it's going to have a huge impact. Not only are our kids going to be in worse shape because they've lost almost a year, almost the whole year, but it's going to change the way schools are being done, because there's going to be people who are not going to send their kids back to school next year out of fear of this virus or that virus. So I think what's going to happen is we're going to see a lot more kids being educated by their computers, just like we're doing right now. That's what's going on in a lot of school systems right now. We have what's called virtual charter school in North Carolina, and that's everybody that's assigned to that, that's how they're getting their education, is online. And I think we're going to start seeing a lot more kids getting educated online as a result of what's been going on, what we've been forced to do, and find alternatives to traditional classroom settings.
I agree with you. I think a lot of people will even consider now homeschooling. I think some have probably gotten a good dose of Common Core now and know a little bit more about what their kids are learning in school. I don't know for sure, but yeah, I agree. I think it's going to have a big impact financially. I know that right now our buses are running, providing meals to the students, and even in some affluent neighborhoods where it's perfectly obvious the kids there have not been going without meals and would not go without meals. But parents are gathered on the corner waiting with their kids to get the free meals that are coming from the school buses. Where's that money coming from?
It's coming out of the general fund, and more of it is in this bill. There's millions in this bill to continue to pay for that. There's millions in this bill to give more money to families that are on food stamps, $100 a month increase, $15 a month increase for each kid, just different things that they've come up with. Part of that $1.7 million.
Can you explain that to somebody that wonders why somebody that was unemployed and they're still getting their unemployment, and now they're getting other money from the federal government, and now the state has added more into their, understood there was additional money added on their EBT card. Why do you need more when you haven't lost anything?
Well, that's a good question. We're going to have problems as this thing goes along. There's a lot of folks getting more money on unemployment than they were getting when they were working. That's problematic because some of them are not going to want to go back to work and make less than what they were getting on unemployment.
And we've seen examples of that.
What's that?
We've seen examples of that across the country. There's people that their employees, when they called them back in and said, hey, we got the money to keep paying you, they said, we don't want it. We're making $100 and $200 a week more now than we were when we were working.
I believe that in one of these bills, we do have it in there that if your employer calls you back and you say decide not to go, you lose your benefits. I'm almost positive. I was told it was in there, but I haven't read that particular bill. But a lot of this stuff ends in July. So
good. Bob, you had your hand up?
I was going to add that I'm not sure which states they are, but if the person refuses to go back to employment, then the burden of paying the unemployment comes out of the company owner's rating, I guess, rather than coming out of the federal funds. So it's like transferring the burden back to the company owner where the worker doesn't want to come back.
Right. Another issue that been brought to my attention is that we are also providing Wi-Fi hotspots in many homes, free internet access. That's not free to the state, is it? They're having to offset that cost, aren't they?
The state's paying for the cost, but it's how we're educating the kids. The kids have to have internet in order to get on their computers and do it. North Carolina was the first state in the nation to be for the, all the schools to be wired. Did you know that?
Yes, I had heard that.
Yeah. So, but now the kids are not in school, but and a lot of the kids don't have it at home, or they don't have access to it at home, or some areas like for in Craven County, the Harlow area, does not get good reception out there. So there's been money put into getting these Wi-Fi converters or whatever they are hooked onto the school buses, so that when a kid's on the school bus for the ride home, he can do his homework. Wi-Fi setups being put at certain places like fire departments, so the kids can go there and do their homework. So whatever they can do to get them connected so they can get their homework done.
Okay, I'm assuming if they don't have Wi-Fi and don't have internet access, and they probably didn't have a laptop or an iPad either.
The schools have this stuff. I know Craven Schools has it. They bought these things. The kids have the iPads. So that's not a problem. The problem is being able to get connectivity.
Okay. So we've got a virus that now seems to be less of a hazard than the regular flu. And the overreaction, in my opinion, to that is costing us billions of dollars and will continue to cost us as these bills are extended and more is being added to. And I just hope that the representatives up there in Raleigh, at least some of them, are I know you and Representative Kidwell are trying to fight the battle, but how much help do you have? Are you by yourselves, or are there other representatives that working along those lines?
Well, right now, everybody's not even up here. Everything that we've done so far has been over the internet. Our committee meetings, I've been in session, Kidwell's been in session, a couple other folks. But when we go in tomorrow, we're going to be, a lot of them are going to be voting by proxy. Those of us that are here will come in and vote in increments, 30 seats at a time. But again, everybody is somewhere else, but we changed the rules to allow them to give their vote to the majority leader or the minority leader in the case of the other side, and let them cast it on their behalf. They tell them how to cast it. So this is a first as far as I know. I didn't like the idea. I didn't want to support it, but I knew that right now we got to think outside the box. So I did support the bill. It passed with two votes in dissension. One of them was Kidwell's, one of them was Cleveland in Onslow County.
Good for him.
Okay.
Pittman in Cleveland, I'm sorry.
Pittman. Larry Pittman in Cleveland, okay.
Yeah, Kidwell voted for it.
All right. Like well, it's time to take another break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, I want to move on to another hot topic, and that's voter ID and election fraud. So please listen to our sponsors and please go out and visit them. They have drive-throughs open, many of them, and still support them in this time of shutdown.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've got Representative Michael Speciale with us, North Carolina 3rd District, and we've been talking with him about the COVID shutdown, and now we're going to move on to a couple other topics dealing with our elections coming up, and that's voter ID, election fraud, and mail-in voting. Those are three things we'd like to talk about. Let's start with the mail-in voting issue, Michael. I know that some people here in North Carolina are eager to push for that.
Well, we already have mail-in voting, but their push is to make that the only way. To make that an emergency, use the COVID as an excuse so that the only way you could vote is by mail-in voting. Mail-in voting is the biggest way that cheating is done, and so we certainly don't want to do that, make that the only way to vote. There's a procedure to follow. If they try to change the rule, which apparently is what they're looking at doing, they've got to post it on their website and make it public. It only takes 10 citizens' dissent, 10 citizens who say, I don't like this, I don't want you to do this, to stop the process. It'll stop it for 30 days. It will, and then it throws it in the lap of the General Assembly, and the General Assembly has to make a decision. And that's what you want to do here. You want the General Assembly to make this decision, these types of decisions, not the Board of Elections.
Right. The Board of Elections, that's another issue. Can you tell us who appoints the Board of Elections?
The governor does.
Entirely?
I don't remember if there's, well, the director's appointed by the governor. So the rest of them, I don't know. I don't remember if the speaker and the President Pro Tem of the Senate have nominees they can put in there or not. I just honestly don't remember. I know most of the appointees have to be approved by the General Assembly. But most of the time when it comes to us, we don't know, you know, if the governor makes the appointments, we don't know who these people are.
Okay. So the General Assembly does get to approve them though.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rainer.
The thing that bugs me about that, and they're having as much power as they do, is that they are a bureaucracy. It is an unelected body, and they can affect things pretty darn strongly. That bugs the living daylights out of me.
I agree. It does. You know, last week, or the week before, recently anyway, we had Major Dave Getz talking to us about possible election fraud here in North Carolina. And he spent a number of years, not just this past election, but going back a couple of elections, he's been gathering the statistics from the State Board of Elections databases as they post them online, the results of the elections. And there's numerous anomalies that he's discovered and inaccuracies, files still being updated after everything's certified, file sizes changing, numbers changing, and he's found a lot of duplicates and things like that. So there's obviously a problem with the system. And I believe he has talked with some of the representatives, Michael. Have you had a chance to talk with Major Dave?
I have, actually, over the past 8 years. You know, we've worked together on stuff. I've put in bills to try and correct some of this stuff. Some of them made it through. Some of them didn't. It's something that that needs to continually be monitored. It's something that we continually need to correct.
I'm wondering who's responsible for oversight over the election board.
We have an elections committee. I'm on elections committee. I think I'm still on it this year, aren't I? It's hard to remember once because they haven't had meetings since last year because we've been out of session. So to remember which ones, it changes from time to time. But I think I'm still on elections. But it's elections committee that has oversight. But it's really controlled by the governor. The elections board is controlled by the governor's office.
Okay. Do you have trouble getting your questions answered by the board?
No, not generally. It's in statute. Any departments that we go to as legislators, if we ask questions, they're required by law to answer those questions and give us the information that we request. So.
Okay. So, that covers the mail-in voting. Obviously a very bad idea that, as you mentioned, we need to have at least 10. I don't think that'll be a problem. I think they'll get thousands of people that are totally against that. But we also know there's outside money coming into our state pushing for it and trying to convince people that that's the way to go. At the federal level, you have Nancy Pelosi now is pushing real hard to get it at the federal level. But still, that's a state's rights issue, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The only involvement that the federal government has is when it comes to the presidential federal elections.
Right, right. Rainer, did you have another question?
No.
Okay, I thought I saw out of the corner of my eye that you might have your hand raised. Okay, another issue is the voter ID law. That's still hanging out there in limbo, I guess, in the court system. Any movement on that?
Not that I'm aware of. I haven't seen anything on it. The Attorney General promised to fight or to defend it, but that hasn't happened yet. He didn't want to do anything until after the primary. Well, the primary's over. I haven't heard anything. As far as I know, nothing's happened on it. So not much we can do as a General Assembly because, again, anything that we do, the governor can veto. And he would veto anything if we tried to do another bill.
Okay. So is there anything we as the people could do?
Make sure you get a supermajority in November.
Okay.
Your assignment, should you?
It's
I was thinking more along before the election.
Yeah. It's it's a sad state of affairs that we've gotten to be so partisan in this country. Because this, for most of the time I've been up here, it wasn't like this. It wasn't this partisan. This is something new over the last couple of years, which you have seen, Beck.
Yes.
All of you have seen this over the last couple of years. This country has really gotten partisan. And it's a shame because it stops progress. It stops forward momentum. It stops us being able to do good things for the people because everybody has an angle. Everybody has a reason for not doing something. The governor ends up wielding a lot more power as the minority party by threatening his people to primary them or whatever it may be and keeping them from voting their consciences and voting according to party line.
All
right. Which Mary? Is always the worst way to vote. I don't care which party you're in.
All right. Mary?
Michael, do you have any idea on what has caused the increase of partisanship? It's countrywide.
And leftists. Liberalism. Honestly, I'm serious. Liberalism. That's my opinion. Liberalism cannot be defended from a rational viewpoint, from using facts, and so they start getting angry. And you know this, if you've talked to folks on the left, the minute that they can no longer defend their position, and liberalism is not defensible from a fact-based argument. It's based on feelings, it's based on this supposed utopia that could exist if we would all just sing Kumbaya. But it's over a period of time, it's made them get angrier and angrier and angrier because it's not defensible. And there more and more people are starting to stand up on our side, which makes them even more angrier. And it's just it's a growing trend in this country. And it's sad to say that, but it's hurting our forward momentum.
I agree with Michael on that. And another thing with it is the media. Your mainstream media is pushing that narrative and causing a lot of that divide. Plus, we talked earlier about Common Core, which is just indoctrination and turning your children in the school system into more leftists or liberals, progressives with a one world, one global, all one family agenda. And that's part of the problem. How?
Well, Rick, agreed with what Michael said about this liberalism and the anger. But I think a lot of it comes back to the fact that President Donald Trump got elected. And he got elected, they start immediately showed their anger in a great way by trying to impeach him right from the get-go. And that's gone on for a long time. They haven't ever given up on that approach. And that's why when we see people that are even around Newbern, places like that, that we know to be liberal people, they're really angry. And sometimes they take it out on you. I've had people see my signs on my car and they'll walk by and give me a hump and, what you got there and things like that. So I see a lot of anger and I think it's expressed by cause of resentment against President Trump.
I think you're right, Hal. There is a lot that comes from that. Well, let's take another break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills. Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, Representative Michael Speciale, 3rd District, North Carolina. And Michael, I know that the county commissioners here in Craven County have sent a letter to the governor suggesting that they be allowed to go ahead and reopen. Are they the only ones, or are other counties following suit?
There are many counties who have sent resolutions to the governor. As far as I know, none of them have gotten a response yet, neither has Craven. But they all believe that the county is the best avenue for opening up, or making the decision on how to open up, and which I think we'd all agree the counties know more about the local areas than the governor does. It's not one size fits all.
When I first saw it posted that Craven County did that, my response, and I replied online, was, I don't think they need the governor's permission. Am I wrong?
Well, to counter what the governor has done, yes. I mean, the counties and the cities have, they can implement their own policies if their ordinances allow them to do that.
But there again, if I'm going back to the constitutional, if a law is unconstitutional, then it's null and void and is no law at all. So that's my viewpoint on it. What he's done is totally unconstitutional as far as closing down churches and businesses and things. And so go ahead.
One of the things that needs to be done is the statutes, emergency management statutes that give the governor power to deal with issues like he does, they're going to have to be rewritten. They were written for hurricanes and wildfire type stuff. They weren't written for something like this. This was something totally unanticipated. Quarantining healthy people, nowhere in our laws does it allow that. There was a lot, but there are some ambiguities that the governor has twisted and contorted to make it mean what he wants it to mean. So that's an issue that's going to have to be addressed in the near future.
Yeah, I think you're going to see some lawsuits filed against the governor, and maybe that'll help flesh out.
It's already happening. Yeah, it's already happening.
All right. Well, Michael, we want to thank you. We appreciate all that you do. You've always made yourself available when we call to ask questions. And it's important to be able to have a representative that you can do that with. And we also applaud you like showing up at the rally yesterday. You're not afraid to stand up and stand out, and you are a welcome voice in Raleigh, as far as we're concerned, or as far as I'm concerned. I guess I'm speaking for all of us.
Yep.
But again, we want to thank you for all that you do. Hal?
You know, one of the things I wanted to mention about the rally was how many people came up to me and said they were familiar with CCTA from Wake Up Call. And I really thought that was great. That fellow named Guy Smith that attended our virtual meeting, he was there and came up and we talked about it a while. So I don't know. It just seems to me that a Wake Up Call has really helped the CCTA gain its reputation in a wider field than just here in Craven County and Carteret and Pamlico.
I agree. And I think it's going to improve even more because one of the side effects of this coronavirus is all this Zoom conferencing that we're doing. We're reaching more and more people now because it's not just confined to a local radio station. We can go out and hold these things and reach out all across the state or across the country or around the world, like you were indicating earlier.
Well, all that's true, like I said, but I do want to also remember that 107.1 and Lockwood Phillips have been very, very kind to us. And, you know, Mary's become a feature on there, and he's invited several of us to come in and speak a number of times. And so I'm grateful for that, too.
Right. That's 107.1, and we do appreciate their support. And again, we have another friend in the printed media, and that's Jeff Idolette with the County Compass newspaper.
Hear, hear.
And Jeff has felt the repercussions of this shutdown because he couldn't do his print edition, so he's been having to do it digitally online. And Rainer, can you tell us where to go online to find that?
Well, if you just search for County Compass Online, it'll come up.
County Compass Online. And
this past week, he did do a print issue. There, all of the distribution points weren't open and aren't being frequented. So it was not the same volume as usual. But he also did an online version, and he plans to continue doing that online version from now on. This week is going to, I believe, feature on the front page some stuff about the Open NC rally, and our CCTA page will have a photo story of that event. And it, my understanding is it'll come out in both versions, hard copy and online.
Well, good. So those are two that we want to especially thank for their support. Get us out on the radio, get us out in print media. And of course, we want to thank you listeners and for spreading the word, mouth to mouth, getting people on to tune in and listen. We really appreciate that. And of course, all of our sponsors, please go out and support them during this time of shutdown. Like we said, many of them are still operating with drive-through windows and things like that. And that brings to mind one of our sponsors. And this is another issue, Michael, you can talk to us about. I think he's filed a lawsuit, and that's on the con law.
Dr. Singleton.
Yeah. Right. Jay Singleton is fighting the con law. And what do you know about that? Real quick.
Well, I know that I put in a bill every session since I've been up there to try and get rid of it, take it away piece by piece. Ophthalmology, which is what Dr. Singleton is, the difference between having this con law and not having this con law, in order to use his surgery room, it would probably be $900 to $1,000. If he has to use the surgery room or the operating room at the hospital, it could go anywhere from $4,000 to $10,000. So right. You pay the price on it, and we need to get rid of these. They're antiquated laws that the federal government told the states to institute years ago, and then they told them shortly thereafter, get rid of it. It's not doing what it was supposed to, bring the cost down. But anybody that's aware of the free market knows that it would, this would bring the costs up. The free market is what brings the cost down.
Right. And one of the things he mentioned is during this coronavirus shutdown, the effect of the number of hospital beds that are available, the states that have done away with the con laws are not hurting like the ones that still have the con laws, as far as that goes. Well, that's all the time we have for today's issue of CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we thank Michael Spicelli, representative for the 3rd District here in North Carolina. And we hope you'll tune in again next week and join us for CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are rightwinggranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. Jay Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Wake up! Have you seen what's happening to our country? Do you wonder why our elected representatives haven't done anything? Maybe they haven't heard from you. You do know that yelling at the radio or TV doesn't get their attention, don't you? But getting involved with a grassroots group like CCTA does. We're Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and we have a proven track record of getting things done in local and state politics. Won't you consider joining the fight? Visit cctaxpayers.com today and click on the donate button while you're there.